And you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stand by for news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music. Well, I'm Uncle Dennis, and every week I bring you all this for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in the dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. We're going to start off with announcements. All right. The Dark Divide Hiking Weekend and Campout, September 11th and 12th, the Washington Trails Association is sponsoring the Dark Divide Weekend, which will build support for non-motorized trails and wilderness for the Dark Divide roadless area in Washington State's Gifford-Pinchot National Forest. To sign up or find out more about where you are in the Dark Divide Hiking Weekend and Campout, go to www.wta.org or try this phone number, 1-800-587-7032. That's 1-800-587-7032 for the Dark Divide Hiking Weekend and Campout. Once again, that webpage, www.wta.org. And there's a public hearing for the Quartzsite Wilderness, September 16th. The Lands Council, the Kettle Range Conservation Group, and the Betts Meadow Wetland Preserve will hold a public hearing at the Public Library in Spokane, Washington, to draw attention to the proposed logging and road building in the unprotected Quartzsite Wilderness area of the Colville National Forest. Contact Liz Allen of the Kettle Range, 509-775-2667. That's Liz at 509-775-2667, or Mike Peterson of the Lands Council, 509-775-2590. The Rocky Mountain Rendezvous, the Alliance for the Wild Rockies, is sponsoring the Wild Rockies Rendezvous September 17th through 19th. Connecting people with places is the theme. Conference will be held at the Montana Snow Bowl, 20 minutes from downtown Missoula, Montana. Contact Bob Clark for information at 406-721-5420. That's 406-721-5420. And, of course, www.wildrockies.org/awr/WRR_schedules.html. That webpage again, www.wildrockies.org/awr/WRR_schedules.html for more information about that. September 23rd, a discussion of the law in the fight for endangered species. Kieran Suckling, Executive Director of the Center for Biological Diversity, will lead a discussion of the Center's uncompromising and successful use of law in the fight for endangered species at noon at the Lewis and Clark Law School in Portland, Oregon. Once again, that's September 23rd, discussion of the law and the fight for endangered species. For more information, contact Tom Miller at 503-242-1246. That's Tom at 503-242-1246, or email to tamiller@lclark.edu. Once again, T.A. Miller, all one word, at lclark, all one word, .edu. The National Forest Protection Convention, October 15th through 17th, the National Forest Protection Alliance will hold its national convention to discuss and build upon the campaign to protect public lands from commercial exploitation, especially logging. This is going to be held near Carbondale, Illinois. To register and find out more about this National Forest Protection Convention, October 15th through 17th, contact Jeanette Russell, and her email address is Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, at wildrockies.org. Once again, that's Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, at wildrockies.org. And the Bike Ride for Southeastern Forests, October 17th through 21st. Five members of the Earth Culture of Greensboro, North Carolina, will ride almost 1,000 miles total to defend the Southeastern Forests. Include 23 demonstrations against wood products facilities. If you'd like more information, contact Rick Spencer for the dates and location of the protests. His number, 336-691-0022. That's Rick Spencer, 336-691-0022. Or EarthCull, E-A-R-T-H-C-U-L, at nr.infi.net. EarthCull at nr.infi.net. Oh, boy. And on the steps, well, here it is. I'll read the whole thing. North Coast Earth First is calling for a rally for all species on Tuesday, September 14th at 12 noon in front of the Resources Agency building at the state capitol in Sacramento, California. Rally's been called to protest the Davis administration's proposed changes to the California Forest Practice rules. The Davis package falls far short of meeting even the meager standards of protection outlined in the Pacific Lumber Maxam Habitat Conservation Plan for Watersheds and Salmonid Species. Implementation of the Davis rules would fail to bring California's forest protection rules into compliance with the Federal Endangered Species Act and the Clean Water Act requirements, and continue to allow watershed degradation and salmonid habitat destruction across most of the North Coast landscape. Once again, show up at the Board of Forestry Tuesday, September 14th. There'll be a rally at 12 noon. I believe the testimony and hearing starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. So come early, sign up to speak at the state capitol. I believe the address is, come on, they don't give it here. It's the Resources Agency building. And come on, folks, you really need to put the address there. Anyway, contact North Coast Earth First at 707-825-6598. That's 707-825-6598. And I'm sure you can find the Resources building listed in the Sacramento phone book. I used to know where it was, but I just can't think of it off the top of my head. That job for director of Heartwood out in Bloomington, Indiana, is still open. It's a full-time, 40-hour-per-week, $18,000-a-year job. You'll need a resume and three references. Send them to Heartwood, P.O. Box 1424, Bloomington, Indiana, 47402. That's Heartwood, P.O. Box 1424, Bloomington, Indiana, 47402. You can call them at 812-337-8898. 812-337-8898 if you want to be the director of Heartwood. You'll have to live in Bloomington, Indiana, though. Okay. Casey Neal, beloved songster and Celtic hero, has some fall tour plans. If you want to get in touch with him, his number is 206-517-5071. That's 206-517-5071 for the Casey Neal and the Casey Neal Trio Fall Tour. Here's some highlights. September 17th in Portland, Oregon, at McMiniman's St. John's Pub. It's 8203 North Ivanhoe. 8 p.m. on the 17th. On the 18th, Olympia, Washington, And at the Capitol Playhouse, 612 East 4th Avenue, 8 p.m. September 19th at Cottage Grove, Oregon, at the Aprovecho Center. And it's in the daytime, it says, no specific time. So September 19th in Cottage Grove during the daytime. September 26th, Casey will be in Sebastopol, California at the Sebastopol Celtic Festival. And doesn't say where that is, but I'm sure that you'll find more information at www.monitor.net/Celtic. They'll be playing at 12:50 in the afternoon. A little farther off in the future, Saturday, October 2nd in New York City, New York, at the Guinness Oyster Festival, 12 noon. So that's at the Street Fest at East 4th between Lafayette and Bowery. And, oh well. More announcements moving right along. A voting booth has been set up on the web for public opinion on endangered species protection. Go to www.freevote, all one word, .com/booth/ECO. That's www.freevote.com/booth.ECO. This is brought to us by Leona of SageCouncil.com. And the Big Brother and the Holding Company benefit to stop global warming, featuring Big Brother and the Holding Company and Pele Juju, is Saturday, September 25th, in Portland, Oregon, at the Crystal Ballroom. Special guests Everyday Dirt and the Honorable Lionel Hurst, ambassador from Antigua and Barbuda. Okay, anyway, that's September 25th in Portland, Oregon, at the Crystal Ballroom. Check it out. It's a benefit for... Greenhouse Network. So if you want more information about the Greenhouse Network, check out their website at www.greenhousenet.org. Greenhousenet.org. And for those folks who are living in California, once again, here is the address for the State Board of Forestry, 1416 9th Street near O in Sacramento. Once again, that's 8 o'clock to 10 a.m. on Tuesday, September 14th. Okay. Let's move into activist news here. The Hennepin County District Judge Stephen Aldrich dismissed charges against two Minnesota 55 protesters, Natalia Shulkin and Michael Nelson, because they did not receive medical help after Highway Patrol officers wiped pepper spray into their eyes. The court found that the behavior of law enforcement officers was outrageous and abusive in denying medical attention to the two protesters who were left for more than 5 hours in the winter's cold without medical attention as they stood in extreme pain, vomiting, drooling, crying, and unable to see. This is part of the Minnehaha protest. And in other news, a Minneapolis city attorney vowed to appeal the dismissal of charges against two Highway 55 protesters, complaining there was no factual or legal basis for the ruling of District Judge Stephen Aldrich in calling the arrest outrageous. So who knows? Maybe it'll get overturned. Maybe it won't. And three activists working with the Cove Mallard Coalition were arrested by Forest Service law enforcement on Road 1875 in the Nez Perce National Forest, where two of the activists had been blocking access to the tottering timber sale since Sunday morning. The third was arrested when she demanded to be allowed to observe the conduct of police officers dismantling a blockade set up by protesters to prevent the clear-cutting of what one coalition volunteer called the last viable habitat for endangered steelhead trout, bull trout, and Chinook salmon on the South Fork of the Clearwater River. And in other, let's move on to activist news here. 55 miles southeast of Portland on the western edge of the Mount Hood National Forest, Kayleen Casey straps herself into a climbing harness. It's been attached to a loose hanging rope that will carry her to a treehouse suspended like a giant nest in the branches 150 feet above the ground. Attached to the black rope by prussic knots, which can slide up until weight is put on them, are two smaller lines. One is near Cassie's hands, the other is wrapped around her feet To ascend, she slides the foot line up the main rope until her leg is sticking out in front, and then she pulls both legs under her as if climbing on a swing. She stands up, sliding the top knot with her hands. Then she sits back in the harness, slides the foot rope again, and inches her way up into the forest canopy. After the final grueling push, she hoists herself up on the wooden platform, joining Granite, who slept there the night before. The perch provides all the comforts of home, if you don't expect your home to be comfortable. If you don't mind huddling in a sleeping bag all night, harnessed to a tree so you don't roll off, or squatting on the edge of an abyss to pee into a bucket. If you don't mind the sharp sting of a carpenter ant bite, the itchy bumps left by the attack of no-see-ums, or being awakened at 3 a.m. by flying squirrels that use you as a landing pad for their nocturnal glides into darkness. Later that night, she'll be joined in her vigil by two others, members of a loose association of 90s-style monkey wrenchers, who have been sitting in the tree for 129 days in an attempt to stall the planned logging of a virgin grove in the Clackamas River watershed. For most Portlanders, the phrase timber protesters conjures up images of dreadlock-sporting, patchouli-wearing youth with silly names and half-baked opinions about tree-cutting, animal research, and corporate domination. Tree-sitting is dismissed as an indulgent... a self-indulgent summer camp for trust funders. There are two direct actions being staged at the Eagle Tree Sit. One is the tree sit next to Forest Road Service Road 4615. The Forest Service gives the label Unit 2 to the stand of trees, some of which are 500 years old. The protesters call it Sunset Grove. The second front of the protest is nearly 3 miles southwest of Sunset Grove. It's a spider's web of a roadblock that spans Forest Service Road 4614. 75 feet off the ground hangs a cargo net activists call the pod, which was erected in June. Above and below it are hundreds of yards of ropes that wrap around a half dozen trees and link to other platforms supported by two intersecting logs on which a protester can sit. If one of the ropes is cut, the pod will come crashing down, and with it, whoever is sitting in it that day. Hanging from the pod is a banner painted by an artist who calls herself Clove. Save Eagle Creek, it says. The organization behind the Eagle Creek protest is the Cascadia Forest Alliance, a Portland-based group of hardcore environmentalists who oppose any timber harvest on federal land. Since 1996, Cascadia Forest Defenders has worked on more mainstream groups like Oregon Natural Resources Council to oppose the Eagle sale. And a few pages back here. This has been the year of the tree sit. There are at least 8 timber protests in which activists are seeking to prevent logging on the West Coast. Some of the efforts are so organized that they even have their own web pages. In addition to the protest at Eagle, there are 3 other tree sits in Oregon, all on the national forest land. 45 miles east of Eugene, a Lane County environmental group has set up a tree sit called Fall Creek Tree Village to protest the sale of timber in the Willamette National Forest. Activists have been sitting on 4 platforms for 16 months and show no signs of giving up. Some of the most experienced tree sitters are based in Fall Creek, which has become a training camp for teaching others how to climb and build platforms. Fall Creek's website is www.ecoecho.org. Southeast of Fall Creek is the North Winbury tree sit, where activists have been sitting in trees since February of this year to try and stop the harvest of an old-growth stand. East of Roseburg, on the Bureau of Land Management property, 2 19-year-old women, Madrone and River, have been sitting 150 feet up in a tree since July 2nd. Loggers for the Herbert Lumber Company discovered them on July 12th when they came in to log the Right View timber sale. The area is slated to be cut as a 32-acre unit of old growth, which is part of a sale that has seen massive landslides. The protest area has been closed to the public by the BLM, but the webpage is umpqua-watersheds.org. That's umpqua, umpqua-watersheds.org. And last month in the state of Washington, activists took to the trees 6 miles above Randall, a timber town of 2,000, to protest a land swap between the federal government and Plum Creek Timber Company. The swap would exchange forest land owned by Plum Creek along Interstate 90 in Seattle's backyard for timber in the backwaters near Randall. While the Sierra Club has been involved in the negotiations, zero-cut groups such as Eugene's Cascadia Forest Defenders have joined the residents of Randall in establishing a tree sit called Watch Mountain. The exchange is on hold thanks to the discovery of endangered marble murrelets on 2 of those units. All right. And the 2-year anniversary celebration for Julia Butterfly is coming soon. Many Redwood Forest fans know that Julia Butterfly Hill has been living 180 feet up in a giant redwood tree since December 10th, 1987. She's never touched the ground this entire time. She, perhaps more than any other person, has been the primary resource for publicity surrounding the redwood issue, engaging in an average of 4 interviews a day. Some days she does as many as 12 press interviews. Julia chose the tree she sits in, which is called Luna, because it's in the middle of a Maxam Pacific lumber timber plan next to a giant mudslide which destroyed 7 family homes and damaged about 30 others, not to mention Highway 101 in Stafford, California. All right. And in other activist news, the Douglas fir tree, believed to be the oldest in Canada, will remain accessible to the public after British Columbia Supreme Court Justice Randall Wong on Wednesday limited an injunction application by International Forest Products. Wong gave Interfor an extension to its existing injunction aimed at keeping protesters who suspend themselves from trees out of its road-building site in the Alajo Valley. But he restricted it to 500 meters around the active work area. It was a compromise, said Interfor Chief Forester Rick Slacko. This is an improvement over what we had. Now we were going to have to see what happens. About a dozen members of the Radical Forest Action Network and People's Action for Threatened Habitat have set up a camp near the work site and have suspended themselves from trees, slowing down the road work. The protest is taking place in Old Growth Forest at the end of an isolated logging road about 100 kilometers north of Squamish. Interfor had sought to have a larger area included in its injunction to separate supporters from actual tree hangers who are in violation of the existing injunction. But environmentalists are not taking part in the protests, however, claim the broader injunction would cut access to the old Douglas fir, impairing their ability to continue with a forest research program. The tree is about 1,300 years old. You can go see the tree. It's out of the exclusion zone, said Jubilant Joe Foy of the Western Canada Wilderness Committee. And Slacko said he intends to contact the Wilderness Committee to discuss improving public access to the tree and other issues. Interfor has temporarily excluded the grove in which the tree stands from its logging plans. All right. Let's move into the animal news here. What would have been the 66th annual Higgins Pigeon Shoot was canceled by the event's organizers after years of confrontations between animal activists and participants that have resulted in the arrest of hundreds of protesters on charges of trespass, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. The cancellation was spurred by last year's call for the Fund for Animals for a boycott of Pennsylvania and a campaign to persuade tourists to plan their vacations for other destinations, and by organizers concerned with the possibility that injunctions would shut down the shoot. Hundreds of dead sea turtles have been washing up on Ecuador's central coast in the past weeks, and scientists blame the deaths on colder-than-usual waters in the Pacific Ocean, sometimes known as La Niña. About 355 of the marine reptiles, mostly olive ridley sea turtles, have been found dead or dying on Ecuador's beaches since late July. And once there were about 50,000 grizzlies in the lower 48 states, but the estimate is now about 1,000, inhabiting isolated pockets in about 2% of their former range. They survive in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Washington, and maybe a few in Colorado, and only on the flag here in California. In other grizzly bear news, a new plan would shrink the habitat for Yellowstone grizzly bear. Removal of federal protection could be next. Please take a moment to write a letter for Yellowstone's grizzly bear. In a major step toward removing the grizzly from the Protection of the Endangered Species Act, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has released a plan that falls short of what is necessary to protect the grizzly habitat in and around Yellowstone National Park. Scientists agree that survival of the grizzly bear in the lower 48 states relies on protecting sufficient habitat. Unfortunately, the government's plan is seriously flawed. The plan would confine grizzly habitat protections within a recovery zone whose boundaries were drawn when bears were at a precariously low number. Many bears now living outside the boundary would receive no habitat protection on public land slated for oil and gas development and logging. The plan would sanction further habitat loss. Even within the government's insufficient grizzly bear recovery area, further habitat loss would be allowed, jeopardizing key resources of food and bears that depend upon them. And let me give you the address. You need to prepare your comments and postmark them by September 15th. Urge the Fish and Wildlife Service to take these steps. Protect sufficient habitat. Strike the plan's loopholes. that allow for destruction of thousands of acres of bear habitat within the recovery zone. Protect lifelines. These are wildlife corridors between Yellowstone and Canada, vital to the long-term survival of grizzlies in the lower 48 states, and restore any degraded habitat. Write to Dr. Chris Servheen, S-E-R-V-H-E-E-N, Dr. Chris Servheen, Grizzly Bear Recovery Coordinator, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, University Hall, Room 309, University of Montana, Missoula, Montana, 59812. Once again, that address for comments. Please submit them by September 15th to Dr. Chris Servheen, Grizzly Bear Recovery Coordinator, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, University Hall, Room 309, University of Montana, Missoula, Montana, 59812. Or you can email comments to fw6_grizzly@fws.gov. Once again, that email address is fw6_grizzly@fws.gov. Well, we're going to take a short musical break here, and then Earth First Radio will be right back.
Now some say the Romans killed Jesus. Some say that it was the Jews. And some say that it was King Herod. And some say it was me and you. But when I think of the cross he was nailed to, and the tree that was logged for the wood, I realized 'twas the loggers killed Jesus, and it's time that we got them back good. So spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, and Jesus will love you, you know. Spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, someday to heaven you'll go. Now the logger who cut that old tree down, he was just going along with the mob. When asked why he did it, he answered, I was only just doing my job. I don't care what they do with the timber, as long as they pay me my price. They can go make a frame to hang a picture, they can go make a cross to hang Christ. So spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, and Jesus will love you, you know. Spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, and someday to heaven you'll go. Now as Jesus he hung on that cross there, it was not something that he liked. And his last words were, Father, I would not be here if all of the trees had been spiked. So spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, and Jesus will love you, you know. Spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, and someday to heaven you'll go. Spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, and Jesus will love you, you know. Spike a tree for Jesus, spike a tree for Jesus, and someday to heaven you'll go. And Jesus will love you, you know.
First Radio will be right back.